I had lunch yesterday with a young family from the school and the parish who are trying to teach their firstborn and their only child at this stage to talk. And of course, inevitably it came up that at that age, it's only a little tiny tacker, at that age the parents say, they're encouraging their kids to talk and of course to walk in that first couple of years, aren't they? And then they spend the rest of the time, the parents, telling their kids to sit down and shut up. But the mum was telling me that she felt that he was a little slow in starting to speak. So she just chatted to her doctor or whoever you talk to about these things. And the doctor asked her a series of questions. And one of the questions was, when he wants something or does something, does he point and grunt or does he try to speak? And the mum said, oh, no, he points and grunts. And then she said, well, you've got to start to teach him to learn to say yes and no. Now, you as parents would know all of this. You wrote the book. I didn't. And in fact, I didn't read the book. So it seems to me that learning to say yes and no are integral parts of our communication. They're very, very important. They start from the earliest days. It also seems to me that the next thing that probably comes along is, before too long, is we learn to say please and we learn to say thank you. But it seems that even in Jesus' time, as well as in our time, those two words were hard to get through the lips of some people. It seems that in this day and age, saying please and thank you is a bit more of a challenge. And the gospel that we've just heard today brings that forward. And that's why I say that perhaps in Jesus' time, learning to be grateful and respectful, that they were also challenges. So let's not be too hard on this generation, but let's learn something from the generation past. We have the story in the first reading and in the gospel that brings together leprosy, Hansen's disease as we know it nowadays. And many of us would understand, those of us who are not in the medical world, would understand leprosy as nasty sores breaking out all over. We probably have more of a visual understanding than what we do of what the reality of leprosy truly is. And leprosy, from my limited research, tells me that in the time of Jesus, there is no evidence in Palestine or Israel of anybody who had full-blown leprosy. And in Egypt, and especially northern Egypt, one case has been discovered in archaeological bones of full-blown leprosy where the body is partially eaten away. Leprosy in Jesus' time was really a dry skin thing. It has been made appear worse, probably because of movies going back to my day like Ben-Hur and that very famous scene in the caves and outside of where Ben Judah was living, and his mother and sister were there, and all the lepers were there, and they had all these nasty sores in the dark and they were covered over. So it's quite a visual thing that cinematographers have given to us. But the reality is that it was a dry skin condition, and it must have been very nasty, but it was always seen as though it was something that was as a punishment from God. And so those that had the leprosy, they were exiled from the community. They weren't to mix. They thought that it would be that it was highly infectious, when in fact it isn't. And the evidence is there that a married couple, if he has leprosy, she doesn't get it, or she hasn't got it. She might, but more often than not, it's not transmitted that way. It's not that kind of contagious. So clothing and things like that were very important, and cleanliness was very important. But for the scriptures, it had a dramatic effect because it ostracised people. They were cut off from their community. And we have Naaman in the first reading, who was a Syrian general, And he came back after being cured of his leprosy. He came back and thanked God through Elijah, and he offered a gift. Elijah wouldn't take the gift. And then he said, well, then may I take part of the holy soil of God, where God is, which is this soil. And that's why he asked for the two bags to take away with him, so that wherever he went, God was going to be with him from this holy ground. A different kind of transmission. Then in the gospel, we have 10 lepers who recognise Jesus and they call out, Master, take pity on us. 10 is close to or understood in biblical times as the perfect number. It is the complete number, is probably a better way of putting it. It's rounded off, there's nothing left over. Also built into the religious society was that you needed a minimum of 10 people to begin a service in the synagogue. So the relationship between the 10 and the relationship between God was built in, if you like, both in religion and in society. So there are 10 lepers. They're all cured. 9 of them go off and they go to praise God. One of them comes back. And we're hearing scripture that he's a foreigner. He is a Samaritan. So the best translation of a Samaritan in a very poor sense is that they were kind of half-breeds. They were leftover Jews who intermarried with the Babylonians who came and conquered them. And so they were always seen as the outsiders, outcasts in every sense. That's who the Samaritans were. Always seen, and sometimes even as the enemy. And so this man was really hit, the Samaritan, with a double whammy. He was ostracised by the Jewish community because he was a Samaritan. Still a Jewish lynx in there, but the Jews of the south cut them off altogether. So the Samaritan was cut off, and he was also cut off because of his disease, his physical disease. That's the double whammy. Yet he's the only one that comes back. And it's the only time in the scriptures here today that we hear the word thanks, how I began my sermon. The only one that says thanks. And he says thanks to God in person. He says thanks to the very presence of God in Jesus Christ. Now, the other 9, they went and fulfilled the obligation that was set down in the book of Leviticus, the law, and that was to show yourself to the priest, and there were some ablutions and stuff that went along there. That was all ritualistic stuff. But this man was genuinely healed by the presence of God, the physical presence of God. The others were cured. And I draw the difference because there is a difference between healing and curing. Healing has to do with our relationship. It's not medical in the biblical sense. Curing, being cured, is the biomedical issue of the disease. Whereas healing, we talk about healing in the heart, the mind, the body, and the soul. So, for example, people who have anger, they are not cured. They are healed when they come to peace. That's the difference. Whereas people who have a physical condition and they go to the medical world, they will be cured, God willing. But in our life and in our search for peace in our life personally and in the world, it is the healing that we search for. And some of us search for that healing with a limp, which we would like to have cured. Sometimes we take along in our life things that we say and do that ostracise other people, that make them lepers, or within ourselves, we make ourselves a leper by the things that we say and do. We cut ourselves off. That requires healing. I think you understand a little clearly, I hope, the difference. And in this scripture, dealing with a person who is ostracised by the community, the Samaritan, and then ostracised by everybody else because of an illness, that double whammy that I refer to, he knew that the power of God had changed his life forever. And that's why he comes back and he gives thanks. Whereas the others who said, take pity on us, they didn't. They simply went on and fulfilled what was expected of them, but never came back, never faced God to say thanks. So I think for all of us, as we look at our own life, searching for healing, all of us need healing, the world particularly at the moment, and some of us need curing as well. That if we put our focus and we say to God, take pity on us, and then we take the time to thank God for what he has given us, where he has led us, and where he sustains us, then we will find that our life will be healed on many levels, some in which we wouldn't even be fully aware of at this stage if we are in a pain. So in my view, all we have to do to be healed in our life is to look to the Lord and simply say, please. Just say, please. And then I think all we have to do is have the grace and have the humility to then say, thank you.